Morning, everyone. It's great to be with everyone again this week and praying for a blessed Sabbath day and, again, a blessed worship service, one that pleases God. And I pray that the Lord today would give me words of wisdom and comfort and instruction for the flock, especially for Fellowship Baptist Church, our friends of the ministry, and Christians in general. It is a tough time. And we're reading through the perfect book for the time we're going through in America right now as God's people. And that's the book of Judges. And we're taking it piece by piece. We shortened some of the sermons a little bit to be able to grasp the dynamic of what's going on in the book. And especially now with the story of Gideon, which is so important, we need to understand as God's people what type of courage Gideon had, why God continued to reassure him as he was outnumbered on purpose and his army was stripped down to 300 and he had to take on a group between 130 and 150,000 men that invaded the land because the people were unfaithful. So God gave the land as a gift. He gave what he promised. God keeps his promises. Unfortunately, you and I often don't always keep our promises to God. And this is how we find ourselves in the position we're in today in America. And this is why the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, were in the position they were in after they were given the land of milk and honey that God promised them. They were not mature enough to handle themselves. They were not faithful enough for the inheritance at that time, for what God gave them. But because we have a merciful God, when we call out to him, we admit our mistakes, and we tell him that we want a right relationship with him again. We want to fix our marriages, our families, our communities, our schools, our churches. And it's true repentance. God steps in, as bad as it looks. And that's what we're praying for today with our nation. So let's pray, and then I'll get into today's word as we continue in the book of Judges. We'll be in chapter 8 today, and we'll be working through verses 1 through 25. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our sermon. Almighty God, the great and living God, we love you, Lord. We know that our enemies are many, and we pray, Lord, that with your mighty hand, you would sweep them aside for your people. Not that we could live in luxury with riches and material wealth, but that we could be free again to worship you in peace and to raise our families with godly principles and to continue civilization after this humanistic New World Order collapses. We pray, Lord, that you protect your people. You give us that cave in the mountain, that cleft in the rock to hide, to be with you, Lord, for protection. And we put our faith in you, not in men or in the military or the government or whatever type of militias have formed, but we trust in you, Lord, in your right hand, your sovereign hand. So we pray that you guide us, that justice would be done. And of course, Lord, we thank you for this day. We're able to worship. And we pray, Lord, that again, my speech would please you and that the rest of our worship service would honor you. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So today is September 12th, of course, one day after September 11th. Which many of us who have lived in New York City during the time, grew up in New York City, remember the attacks that were conducted on our nation. This was an act of betrayal. There were definitely traitors involved, whether you believe the official story or not. The bottom line is it changed America forever. And 9/11, because of traitors in our nation, in the government, in the church, in society, that has brought us to the situation we are in today with the COVID-19. as we are locked down, and now as we saw the other day, our president, who is just a figurehead, don't be focused on what the president says, it's the power behind him, but is trying to force these vaccines upon us again, which is against the Nuremberg Code. We know what happens when you give governments the power to experiment on their citizens. We saw this, of course, with the Tuskegee Airmen. We saw this with the Jewish people during World War II. We saw this with the Chinese people, which many have forgotten about, the Japanese experiments on the Chinese people when they conquered China, parts of China. So this is not something we want to do. And as we've spoken about before, God's people use wisdom. We have freedom to make our own decisions. That's what the blessing of America was, liberty of conscience. So if someone wants to take a vaccine and they understand what they're doing and they're not coerced, that's fine. But you can't make people take a vaccine. And it's a shame that so many in the church are actually backing up the government on this. And as we know, the vaccine is experimental gene therapy. It is not an actual vaccine. By definition, smallpox was a vaccine where they take a little bit of the disease and they place it in your body and you have an infection, but nothing so severe that you die. And now your body recognizes the invader, the infection, and can fight it from there on. And that's how you gain immunity. This is totally different. This is something that changes the structure of your cells to try and get your body to react properly to an infection. And it amazes me that so many of our Christian leaders that are into blood moons and signs and everyone's the Antichrist, whether it's, you know, Ronald Reagan, Wilson, or it's Barack Obama, everyone's the Antichrist to them. But now where we have a world government just 30 minutes away from New York City, the United Nations, which has the same powers in America the Vatican has in Italy. The Vatican, the Pope, the Papal Grounds, they are their own nation. Italian law has no reach upon them. And it's the same thing in America. Many people are shocked to find out. I don't know why. I guess because they don't know history and study enough. The United Nations answers to no one. They don't answer to the mayor of New York City. He has no power over them. That Rockefeller donated lands for this world government that we have sitting in America. They are their own entity. They have their own laws within a certain square mile, a certain radius around their buildings. So it's an international body. So we have that in place. We see the new technology. We see we're going to go from partial electric money and some paper money to full electronic money. And we see the forced vaccines, this forced mark. And we know that strange things are happening. Certain people that have been vaccinated, we thought it was conspiracy theories. There was some type of metal in them, possibly, that refrigerator magnets were sticking to people and silverware. And we laughed about it. And I thought it was a joke at first. And now we see Japan has stopped giving 1.6 million doses of the vaccine because they found metal in it, possibly graphene and nanoparticles, things that are metallic foreign elements. So we see this happening. It's not a kill shot. It's not going to kill you if you took the vaccine. And I don't believe that that was necessarily the intention. But as a device to track us the way our cell phone would or any other device, well, that's a possibility. Are we to trust men? And why are they so interested in forcing this upon us? That we have a death, or actually survival rate of 99.5%. Do we need it to be 99.6 with all these vaccines and lockdowns? So obviously something's going on. There are always traitors in the land. We're going to see that as we read about Gideon today, what he went through, being outnumbered, and not only having enemies outside the land, but also those within the land that were conspiring with the enemy to do Israel harm. And we have the same thing today in the United States. Now, what 9/11 did, September 11th, it brought in things like the Patriot Act, which is not patriotic. They always give nice names to things. And that allowed for spying, that allowed for American citizens to be locked up without a fair trial. And this is how we got things like Guantanamo Bay and the Gitmo prison. So 9/11 was the opening shot for this new empire that's defying God. And if you had any doubt about it, look at what's happened since September 11th, 2001. We have the same-sex unions. We had even more aggressive abortion. We have the LGBTQ movement in full speed. We pulled down old flags that we feel are offensive, but then we put the gay, lesbian, and pervert battle flag up. So we're in the middle of it, but we can't panic, and we cannot betray God, and we can't betray God's people. And we have to understand that we will make it with God's help, with His strength. And God will remember those who betrayed Him in the church and without the church. And that's what we want to remember. I think that's the main message for 9/11, is if you want to never forget, well, then focus on God and understand that He warned us about not trusting Him, getting rid of Christian principles from our nation and trusting others. And just like Gideon with invaders from the east, if you look on a map, if you look to the east of America, we are the number one target of this new wannabe empire. And if you travel east, you pass through Europe, and the EU is not our friend, and you pass through the Middle East, and we have no friends there. Israel is not our friend. You keep going, Russia is not our friend. China is not our friend. So we have a greedy group of world leaders that they used America for the two world wars, and they used our military to destabilize the Middle East, and 9/11 was part of it. And now they're done with us. And it's up to us as Christians who happen to live in America to learn how to survive. So the Christian leadership that wants to pacify us and wants to tell us that the vaccine and all this control from the government is such a wonderful blessing and we should trust them, or they push us to worship religious leaders the way the evangelical movement made George Bush like he was the 13th apostle during 9/11, and the same way certain elements of the church worship Barack Obama like he was the second coming, and now we were told to fall in love with President Trump, and he's a Christian and he's wonderful, and they'll do the same thing with Joe Biden and whoever else. The church needs to be vigilant, not trust anyone but God. And remember, God remembers the traitors, and that's why the title of today's sermon is 9/11, God will remember the traitors. And He definitely will. And those of you who have made the mistake of teaming up with evil, or if you know someone who has, warn them, because once in a while, God raises up a Gideon, a super small group, that for His glory, not for their glory, He allows to smash evil, to smash the invaders in the land, and to make things right. And that's what we pray for. That's our hope. So don't lose courage. Don't join the side of evil. Don't let the government scare you to death, just like they did with 9/11. We have to attack those foreign invaders in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we have to bomb the living daylights out of them over there so they don't get us over here. And then I just saw the official number the other day. We have 300,000 people since the 9/11 attacks that we have admitted into this country, many of them hardcore Islamic followers from Afghanistan, from Iraq. We let them walk right into the nation and settle here. So I ask you, as a thinking person, did we really have to fight them over there so they wouldn't get us over here? And maybe who we think our enemy is not really our enemy, and a game is being played on us. So governments have done this since the beginning of time. They make you panic, they make you fearful, and then they act like the savior. We have the same thing again with the virus now. All the fear porn, all the horrible things that are posted, pushing people to do things they normally wouldn't do. We gave up all of our rights after 9/11, and 20 years later, we're giving up all of our rights again. Instead of trusting God and appreciating the freedom he's given us, we're asking Pharaoh to save us. And we should all know how Pharaoh treats people of faith. So let's get into our reading today. We're in Judges chapter 8, verses 1 through 21, actually. And we're going to break this down piece by piece. If you remember, Gideon's army was stripped down to 300 men. He has to fight a group of over 130,000. God will do this sometimes so the people don't glory in themselves and they understand that the victory really came from him. And we see that Gideon, like me, like you, had to be built up. The odds were against him. It looked bad, just like me speaking today, just like you being Christians today. We are a target. We have to put all our faith in the Lord. If we lose this battle, it's going to be bad for you and I, and it looks bad right now. But we have to trust the Lord that he will come through and deliver us. And we pray we have our Gideon moment, that when it looks really bad, God in his mercy helps us to deliver our people, those of us who are few and faithful at the time. He can use us for his glory to deliver our people. That's what we're praying for our children, for our grandchildren, for the future of our people, our faith in this land that we find ourselves in. So this is what we're praying for. And we have to understand Gideon needed to be reassured. And even after he was shown miracle after miracle, he still doubted. Just like I do, just like you do. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be depressed at times. We have a lot of pressure on us. We're not only attacked by the devil, we're attacked by those who use the label of Christian. Like J. Gresham Machen warned us about. Liberal Christianity is not Christianity. We're going to see that today. So we have the enemy, and even worse, we have traitors that are working against us, but we have to stand firm. Easier said than done, myself included. Very scary situation right now. But we have to trust in the Lord. So let's start with our reading. We'll read verses 1 to 3 first in Judges. We're going to see that Gideon has routed the armies, and now it's a cleanup operation, and he needs some help, because remember, there's only 300 men, so he's still outnumbered, even though the enemy's been reduced. And we see in Judges chapter 8, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, this is the tribe of Ephraim speaking to Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So we see that God blessed Gideon with some true words to say, some wholesome words. Gideon read the book of Proverbs and gave a proper answer, a soft answer, to turn away wrath. So the men of Ephraim were upset because here's Gideon winning the battle, and then he calls them in last minute. Now we know Gideon had to do that so God would get the glory. He couldn't have a tribe like Ephraim get involved right away. Ephraim is upset, the Ephraimites, because they were the first tribe closest to the Jordan. So they suffered the most under the Midianites, and they wanted vengeance. And they were asking Gideon, why would you do that to us? You didn't even let us know. You know we would have loved to fight for our deliverance. You didn't even let us know. And Gideon says, look, you did better than I did, and you've been blessed in a greater way. I mean, we just defeat some of the regular men in the Midianite army. You got to take on the big guys, to glory in capturing them, these Midianite princes. So when they heard that, their anger was abated. And we see that God gives Gideon words of wisdom to answer his brethren. Gideon explains how they have reaped the best of the battle by capturing the main princes of Midian. His soft answer turns away their wrath, and he is able to pursue the rest of the Midianite leadership. So the way you speak to people is very important. And we see that. That's why our cross-reference, which we gave today, is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And we see that Gideon was a good Bible student. He read his book of Proverbs, and he had a proper answer for the men. So now we move forward. We get into the meat of this chapter now. And we're going to read verses 4 through 17. And this is what we're speaking about today, that God will remember the traitors. Listen to this story now. These are the ones who, while God's people, his remnant of fighting, actually work against his people when they shouldn't, and it's a shame. So we're told in continuing the story, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? So they're being wise guys. The Bible's a great book, greater than any movie. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth, and answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I'll break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Kochor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men. So Gideon needed help. He needed food. He's still only 300 hungry men pursuing these men. These other cities and their leaders should have helped him because he was actually delivering them too. But it shows that even if the people weren't, the leaders were traitors. They were actually helping with the invasion. And now Gideon needs to chase them. And they're so treacherous that they don't want the Midianites coming back to them. So they basically tell Gideon, yeah, we'll help you after the war's over and we know you've won. So he has a starving army that they refuse to help. All that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east, for there were 120,000 men that drew the sword. So he's still tremendous victory, but still outnumbered. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, whom you did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city. So here we have greater plot than, like I said, any movie you could watch, any other book you could read. While in pursuit, Gideon's army are near exhausted and hungry. Gideon pleads with the leaders of Succoth and Penuel to help his army in their time of need. The leadership of these towns betray him. They show no courage, even as the Midianites are being routed. Gideon plainly tells them their treachery will be remembered. God will remember the traitors. That's the message for today, and that's the message for 9/11, for this COVID thing. God will remember the traitors more than the enemy, those who sided with the enemy in these conspiracies, in these things to injure God's people. God will remember. God takes names. And we see that Gideon, in fairness, makes an exact list of the leaders of the towns who betrayed him. After his capture of the rest of the Midianite army, he returns and punishes the traitors. Gideon is fair. Gideon, they find the young man from these towns. He doesn't just go back and hurt everyone. He gets the leadership. The leadership that betrayed him, he gets a list. And to their shock, it's really very, very amusing and a wonderful scene in the Bible. These leaders say, look, when you actually catch these guys, not thinking that Gideon would actually defeat the Midianites and catch them, he says, when you bring back Zeba and Zalmunna, these two kings, then we'll work with you, like real wise guys. Well, lo and behold, Gideon comes back and he does catch them. And he has them with them. And he remembers the traitors in these towns. And he says, hey, look, wise guys, you told me you wouldn't help me until after I captured these kings, thinking I wouldn't make it back with them. Here they are, and now I'm going to take care of you for being traitors, for plotting against God's people. And when we needed your help the most, you stabbed us in the back. And he does. He beats them. He kills the leadership. And we see that this is exactly what's going on in our land today. Those of us who are faithful, that love people, that warn the church, hey, don't trust the government, whether it's after 9/11 or whether it's with this COVID thing, the COVID-19 thing, the disease with the 99.5% survival rate that we're supposed to panic over. Official CDC stats, by the way. Those are the stats. Extremely high survival rate. But again, get everyone to panic, cause chaos, and then grab more power. So those of us who tell the people, who tell God's people, trust in God, be vigilant, like Peter warned us, be sober-minded. Don't go along with every scheme of men. Follow God's law, God's principles. Don't repress people just because you're scared. We're the ones who are being betrayed, because we have those in the church that are going along with the abortion agenda, the gay battle flag, LGBTQ agenda, and everything else. And those are our main enemies, the ones that say, well, we're Christian too. Like, I think it was Jeffries with that mega church, I think it's in Texas or something, and Franklin Graham saying that the vaccines, these experimental vaccines, which killed a bunch of the animals they were used on, and they're only emergency authorized, saying that this was a miracle from God to save us. Are these people serious? Does anybody trust the religious leadership? I mean, low-hanging fruit, like the Pope. And, you know, we know not to trust people like that, but beware, my evangelical friends. A lot of the leadership is on the take. They've been bought and paid for a long time, both on the Republican side, the Democratic side. They'll do whatever they're told. But we as God's people are supposed to be vigilant and not allow the flock to be victimized. So God will remember the traitors. He will. Fair warning. If you're part of that group, repent now. Come clean. Because you're going to have an angry church and an angry America to deal with when you're found out. And that's why I'm telling the truth. I don't want anyone coming to try and hang me from a lamppost because I wasn't honest. Trust God. Don't trust men. So to show you how bad this has become, I have an article today that I linked to. This is Associated Press. This is what the church looks like to the world. This is why we have the problems we have. The headline, on 9/11, Evangelical Lutheran Church installs first transgender bishop. They're going to go all the way with this. I've been telling you this for over 10 years. San Francisco Associated Press, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, installed its first openly transgender bishop in a service held in San Francisco's Grace Cathedral on Saturday. The Reverend Megan Rohrer will lead one of the church's 65 synods, overseeing nearly 200 congregations in Northern California and Northern Nevada. Quote, my call is, this is the transgender, my call is to be up to the same messy, loving things I was up to before. You're not kidding. Rohrer told worshipers, but mostly if you'll let me, and I think you will, my hope is to love you, and beyond that, to love what you love. Rohrer was elected in May to serve a 6-year term as bishop of the Sierra Pacific Synod after its current bishop announced his retirement. Quote, I step into this role because a diverse community, there we go with that key word again, of Lutherans in Northern California and Nevada prayerfully and thoughtfully voted to do a historic thing, Rohrer said in a statement. My installation will celebrate all that is possible when we trust God to shepherd us forward. Disgusting. The church is one of the largest Christian denominations in the United States with about 3.3 million members. So this is when we need everyone that calls themselves a Christian or a church fighting with us to remove the enemies from our land. We have modern day traitors, just like Gideon ran into, modern day traitors like this. This is modern day Sukkoth and Peniel, Evangelical Lutheran Church, the liberal Baptist denominations, we already knew about the Catholics. Those who are supposedly Presbyterian, John Knox would kill these people. He would ask for their execution. Martin Luther would kill these people. Martin Luther, to be called the Lutheran Church. And Luther played no games when it came to morality. So when they should be helping us fight and deliver the enemies from the land, stabbing us in the back, they're telling us, hey, we'll see you win first and then maybe we'll help you. And this is our enemy. Now, this transgender person is someone who has grown up in New York. I knew transgender people before America even knew what it was. Traveling into the village as a young man with friends and had gay teachers, transgender teachers back in the 80s. So I love these people. So I will tell them the truth. I will tell this person, you need help. And beyond needing help, don't become a traitor pertaining to God. God will remember the traitors. If this congregation was really Christian, they would ask this person to step down immediately. Any gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender person would be asked by a loving Christian congregation to step down. Because if you love them, you don't want them to suffer the judgment. So somehow, some way, God is going to restore things. It'll be swift and it will be quick. So to my lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and whatever other group there is, go back to don't ask, don't tell. The church does not support a police state. What you do in the privacy of your own home, struggle with your sin, admit it's a sin. Do not shame. Try and shame God's name like this. And because I love you, I'll tell you that. And once again, God will remember the traitors. So that's the state the church is in. And that's why we are prisoners in our own homes now, because of things like this. But God will not be mocked. And very quickly, we pray for it, but Gideon can remove this filth quickly in a day. So we see that Gideon is fair. He makes a list. He punishes the traitors, those in leadership, like we need to do, those who betrayed us on 9/11 and are now betraying us during this COVID pandemic. We need justice to be done. People that were honestly tricked, scared, we don't go after them. But there was never justice for those in leadership. And 9/11 only emboldened them more because they got away with that. Now something even bigger and better. And boy, I'll tell you, those Christian ministries, crying wolf, calling out the Antichrist and the end of the world every 5 years. And now we have a real worldwide movement to vaccinate people, which can be turned into a worldwide movement. Just like they did with the vaccines, they could tell you for your own safety, you need a chip that can track you. And now no one cries out. Amazing. And they all go along with the governments to do this. Blows your mind. Amazing. But God is faithful, and let us stay faithful. So as we finish up our text, verses 18 through 21, we're told in Judges, this is Gideon speaking to the kings that he captured. Then said he unto Zebah and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew with Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. Now Gideon is establishing a close relationship. So when people came from the same father, there was a relationship. But traditionally, when you have the same mother, that's even deeper. That's what Gideon was saying. These people that you carelessly killed and showed no mercy, they were related to me, closely related. This is Gideon speaking. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zebah and Zalmunna said, rise down and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zebah and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Now, something very significant. We have this tradition in the Bible that we've carried into the Anglo-Saxon tradition and common law. A man, even if he's accused of murder, should be able to face his accusers and have some type of hearing and explain himself. And we have this tradition in the book of Numbers. If you turn back to the book of Numbers, remember, Alfred the Great was great because he codified biblical law into English common law. And that's the foundation for any righteous laws we still have left on the books in England and America. But if you look at Numbers 35, chapters 9 through 15, we have God establishing this principle. We don't just catch people and kill them, even if they most likely did the crime. There needs to be a reasonable hearing. People need to be able to explain themselves. And we see that's what happened with these kings. They admitted that they committed the killings. So we need to remember that. So God tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. So you couldn't just kill people on the spot. This is how you destroy a society. Even if it's a wicked person that committed the crime, you still want them to have a hearing. It's a good principle. And this we've lost since 9/11, and it continues today. People are dragged into prison for years without the right of habeas corpus, without being officially accused of anything, and without being able to stand trial. And this is what the Patriot Act did, which should have been ended. Extremely dangerous. The reason why today they are looking at your emails right now, all your phone calls are recorded. You have absolutely no privacy. Your YouTube, your Facebook, your everything is because of these laws that were passed after the 9/11 attacks. How convenient. And they were so concerned that they did this for terrorist attacks that we've let 300,000 people from those countries who supposedly attacked us in this country, that's not including illegal immigration, that's who we let come here legally, but yet all these tools are being used against the American people. Don't worry. Your religious leaders are bought and paid for. So on today, they'll talk about how wonderful the government was, their response to 9/11 was, and all that other yada, yada, yada. So, but we see here that a man was able to face his accusers. And Gideon, being righteous and following God's law, and if you read the text, what Moses was saying, he's saying, these six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. So if they could get to that city, they could get a fair hearing to find out what happened. This is exactly what Gideon did. Even though these were foreigners, one law for the Jew and the Gentile, God's law, God's natural laws for everyone, all men are to follow it, and we see that this great tradition has been carried on, and Gideon was righteous in what he did. He questioned the men, and once they admitted their treachery, then they were executed. So remember, God will remember the traitors. Last warning for all of you who think you can defy God and work and betray his people and try and hurt his people and blaspheme God's name. As bad as it looks, take God's side. Don't be compromised. There is no oath that you've taken to anything that could protect you from the hand of God if you're a traitor. Whether it was an open oath, a secret oath, there is no secret candle lighting, handshake, ceremony, whatever you've done. The one that counts for a Christian is baptism. That's the only ritual that counts. That's the one that you will be held accountable for. So as strong as the other groups look right now, you should be very afraid of the Lord God if you're betraying his people. The only secret handshake, ritual, oath, the only one that counts, that surpasses them all, is when you were baptized, when you professed that you wanted to come into the kingdom of God. You better be careful. And if you're one of those that have backslidden, or even worse, last chance, justice is coming. As bad as it looks, justice is coming. A Gideon is coming. A Gideon is coming. So, from the words of Jesus, how bad is it? How bad is betrayal? Well, betrayal is worse than being an enemy, actually. And we see this in Christ's words at the Last Supper. Starting at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. So, those of you who claim to be Christians, Christian leaders, you're stabbing the Lord in the back. You're stabbing us in the back. Maybe we wind up in prison camps, COVID camps. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Whatever I or any other Christian suffers as a follower of Christ, it will be worse for you, infinitely worse, for betraying his people. So all of you who are dirty, make yourself clean through repentance to the Lord. And I know many of you will publicly declare, as bad as it looks for the church and for the nation that we were blessed to be in, we will keep our hope that God will raise up a Gideon, someone out of nowhere, someone unknown, without royal lineage or business or political connections, and God will deliver justice, even though we don't deserve it. He just might do it. And that's our hope. So remember, from 9/11 20 years ago to 9/11 today, God will remember the traitors. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way you have us in your hand. We have no power, Lord. We have no strength. It's all been taken from us. We trust you, Lord, to deliver justice for your people who still believe. Our lives, our children's lives, the lives of our grandchildren hang in the balance, Lord. You're all we have left. We pray, Lord, send us a deliverer. Send us someone who brings justice. Send us someone who tears down the false churches, who brings your law and your word back to this nation, Lord. We pray for it. You're all we have. We have no hope outside you. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when you remember 9/11 today, many of you deeply affected. I know I was. I lost friends. I lost families. I'm not doing some type of clickbait 9/11 sermon to bring in donations, or I lived through it. You lived through it. Let us remember that. Let's trust God. That should be our lesson. Let's not be afraid, and let's not run to the government or to false churches for comfort. And on, as we remember that day, let's also keep in our prayers our families, of the families that were left behind after that day, who still deal with the tragedy and the pain. And we pray, Lord, for justice. I pray that all of you would be blessed today. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath day. Keep the faith. And let's pray for God's justice and another Gideon in our day. Amen.